Hey everyone, my name is Randall Heyer. I'm the Worship Arts Pastor here at Cochrane Alliance Church. We are so glad that you've come to check out the latest sermon. We pray that you are encouraged, you are challenged, and ultimately drawn closer to Jesus. Enjoy. All right, so like Mike said, we are continuing on our Ringside series, the letter of 1 John. And we'll pick up in verse 5 today, and we'll see where we make it. So over this past year, we have I have heard us say many times, myself included, we've said we just miss fellowship. We just miss being with God's people. We miss sharing our lives with one another. And fellowship is a key theme in the book of 1 John. And it's a word that John will use many times throughout his letter. And John uses it a lot in reference to our fellowship with God. And this word fellowship, at its very core, at its very heart, the meaning of this word fellowship is to participate in life together, to share life with one another, to be involved in what each other are doing. And this summer, my sister, my little sister, is getting married. And unfortunately, due to restrictions, due to interprovincial travel, we're not going to be able to make it out to that wedding. We're going to miss out in participating in this incredible celebration together. We're going to miss out on sharing in one of life's greatest moments. And so John is going to talk about this participation in relation to God. And he's going to lay out some conditions around what it means and how can we live in this life with God. How can we have fellowship with God? And so if you have your Bibles, I would invite you to turn with me to the letter of 1 John, and we'll pick up in verse 5. If you don't have your Bibles, click the pause button, go run and get your Bible so you can follow along. But here we go. 1 John 1, verse 5. This is the message we have heard from him, that being Jesus. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim it to you, that God is light. And in him, there is no darkness at all. So there is this message that is coming from Jesus himself. And it's about the character and nature of who God is. And who is God? God is light. God is light. What does this even mean? God is pure. God is holy. He is utterly transcendent. He is perfection. He is good. The word light is used 275 times in the entire Bible and 95 in the New Testament alone. This is a common word in reference to describing who God is. And in order to walk in true fellowship with God, we must start with the right concept of who God is. And John is very clear. God is light is the message that they heard from Jesus himself. God is light. In Genesis, God reveals himself as light as well. And he even reveals himself in fire on multiple occasions. The psalmist refers to God being light as well. In Psalm 104, verses 2, he says, "You are clothed with splendor and majesty, covering yourself in light." And in Psalm 4, verse 6, the psalmist says, "Let the light of your face shine upon us." Light provides illumination in the dark places. It reveals what is in the dark. And light also most certainly refers to salvation, our salvation. In John 8, verse 12, Jesus says this of himself. He says, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Whoever follows me will have the light of light. John's writing flows from the fact that God is spiritual perfection. God is moral excellence. And he is utterly transcendent. God is light. For us to walk in this fellowship, for us to participate in life with God, we must understand that God is light. He is perfect. He is excellent. He is good in all that he does. John continues on in the second half of verse 5, and he says, "In him there is no darkness." In God there is no darkness at all. John is making a stark contrast between light and darkness. And he's saying God is light, and in him there is no darkness. There is no darkness. There's no evil. There's no terrible things, or there's nothing wrong with who God is. So often when in our world, when evil things happen, when dark things happen, for some reason, people like to blame God for this. But John is incredibly clear to us. And it's this message that comes from Jesus. And so it's not just John telling us about it. It's actually Jesus himself letting us know who God is. And they tell us that God is light. He's perfect. There's no darkness in him whatsoever. John's going to deal now with three different lies, or a couple different ways of thinking about the idea of sin and how it relates to our fellowship with God, how it relates to our participation in life with God. So let's read verse 6. John says this, "If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and we do not practice the truth. If we say we have fellowship with him while walking in darkness," that is the opposite of light, opposite of who God is, "we actually are lying and the truth, or we do not practice the truth." Paul makes it very clear in his letters that we are no longer of the darkness, but we are of the light. He says this in Ephesians 5, verse 8. "For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light." John makes it incredibly clear that light and darkness do not mix. They cannot mix. It's like taking water and oil. They just will not mix. As hard as you try to make them mix, they won't mix. I drive a 2004 Toyota Corolla, and it's got a little bit of an oil leak. And so on the road, there is, where I park, there is this spot of oil. And whenever it rains, the rain comes down, and immediately the water starts beating on this spot of oil. It's because of the molecular makeup of oil and water. Because of how they're made, they just will not mix. And that's what John is saying here with light and darkness. And us claiming to walk in fellowship with God, but yet walking in darkness, it's not possible. It just will not happen. John continues on and he says in verse 7, "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another." We have fellowship with God. "And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin." to walk in relationship with God, this participation in life with God, we must walk in the light. We must be known by God for who we are. We must know who God is, that light and darkness cannot mix. We must understand our need for our Savior, the one who has paid for the penalty of sin and death, the one, our sanctifier, who is making us holy, has made us holy, and is making us more into the image of His Son. John continues to combat another lie in verse 8, and he says this: "If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us." If we go around claiming that we have no sin, we are actually lying to ourselves. We are actually deceiving ourselves. We're misleading ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Let us not kid ourselves. Although God has made us a new creation, although the Spirit of Jesus is working in our lives to make us more into the image of His Son, we are not perfect. There are times where we do things that break the heart of God, where we dishonor others, where we speak poorly of others, where we hurt other people, or we lie to get away with something that we've done. Are you ever tempted to just brush aside sin? Are you ever tempted to diminish an action that you've taken? Oh, no one saw that. You know, yeah, it wasn't that bad. Yeah, no, it wasn't really even sin, really. So often we make excuses for the things that we do. We make excuses for the sins that we commit. But John is saying here, if we declare that we have no sin, if we say we have no sin, we are actually deceiving ourselves and we are lying to ourselves. Just this past week, I was in a text conversation with a friend of mine. And we were discussing a particular situation, and I, in that moment, in one of my texts, I said something about another individual that was not honoring about them. And as soon as I pressed send, I was like, I read the text over again, and I was like, "Ooh, Randall, why did you say that?" And immediately, moments later, I had to follow up with another text apologizing for the comment that I had made. And I had to go to God once again to ask for His forgiveness. In John 1:9, the very following verse, I love what John declares. He says this, in verse 8, he says this: "If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us." And then he hits verse 9 and says, "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." There is this conditional statement. John begins with a conditional statement followed by a promise. And that conditional statement is this: if we come to Jesus, if we confess that we have sinned, that we have hurt another person, that we have wronged another individual, if we confess or that we have wronged God in what we've done, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin. This conditional statement is followed by a wonderful and beautiful promise. As we confess our sin to God, as we confess our sin to others, God slowly is making us into His the image of his Son. He is slowly making sin less appealing to us. Even when we fail, we must run back to the heart of God. We must allow the work that he accomplished on the cross to forgive us and to walk in the light again. I remember when I graduated from high school, I left the church that I grew up in, and I started attending another church in a small town a couple minutes away. And mainly because all my friends were there, and I loved the preaching and the teaching. And I remember this one Sunday morning, I was sitting in the chair, and I can still see my pastor saying this as he was preaching. And he said this: "When you sin, run as fast as you can back to the heart of God. Run to him. Ask for his forgiveness. Don't wallow in your sin. Don't beat yourself up until you feel better. But when you sin, run to Jesus and allow him to forgive you. Allow him to wash you clean." When we sin, it's so tempting to believe the lies of condemnation from the enemy, from the devil. But I believe that God is calling us to run to him and to confess our sin to him, because he is there with open arms. Confession is a key ingredient, a key component to walking in fellowship with God, to walking in fellowship with other believers. Sin tends to bring on relational barriers, relational tensions, that when we wrong one another, when we wrong God, there's this awkwardness in between us. There's this weirdness in the relationship. But if you've ever wronged someone, you'll notice this. But when we come to one another and we sit down and we make things right, when we forgive each other, when we confess to one another, that awkwardness goes away, and there can once again be communion and fellowship. And this is a key ingredient to our fellowship, to our participation in life with God. I remember this one time I was driving in my car, and I looked out to the right, and there was this gigantic billboard. And on this billboard was written 1 John 1 verse 9. Now, I'm not one for Christian paraphernalia, especially billboards. But in that moment, I read 1 John 1 verse 9, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." And as I'm reading it and I continue driving, the two words that stuck out in my mind were that he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. He is faithful and just. He is wanting to make good on his promise, to be faithful to the promise that he gave, to forgive us. If we come to him and if we confess to him, he has made a promise to forgive us, to cleanse us, and he is faithful to that promise. Listen to the words of Moses in Deuteronomy 7, verse 9. "Know therefore that the Lord your God is God, the faithful God who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations." He is most certainly a God who is faithful to his promise to forgive. And not only is he faithful to that promise, but he is just. Now, when I first read that on that big billboard, I was like, what does that even mean? He's just to forgive us of our sins. Well, if you look at this verse, It says that he is faithful to the promise that he has made. And in order to be faithful, if he's going to be faithful to the promise, he is wrong if he doesn't, if he isn't faithful to that promise. And so he is just in that he is right in keeping his promise. He is right in doing so. If he would not forgive us when we come to him, he would be wrong in doing so. So we can come to him knowing that he is faithful, knowing that he will fulfill the promise, and that when he fulfills it, he is right in doing it. Friends, when we confess our sin to God, he is overjoyed that he can forgive us. He wants to be faithful to the promise that he has made. He has made a provision for his forgiveness, and his name is Jesus. I love this quote. It has recently become one of my favorite quotes by John Calvin. And he says this, concerning the confession of sins, this is what the scripture teaches. Since it is the Lord who forgives, forgets, and wipes away sins, let us confess to him and obtain grace and pardon. Listen to this. I love this. He is the physician. Let us show him our wounds. He is the physician. Let us come to him and show him our brokenness. He is the one who has been offended and injured. So let us ask for mercy and peace. He is the one who knows our hearts, who sees every thought. Let us open our hearts to him. Essentially, let us walk in the light. He is the one who calls sinners. Let us turn back to him. Church, we can run to God and seek his forgiveness. Today, I want to invite you, if you do not know the person of Jesus, if you do not know his forgiveness, I would invite you to come into a relationship with him today. I would invite you to confess your brokenness, your sin to him, and declare that you are in need of him. And if that is you, I would invite you to click the prayer button and connect with us and let us know that you want to be in relationship with Jesus. And we would love to connect with you and pray with you and walk with you on that journey. What is confession? What does it mean to confess our sins to God? It means that we are agreeing with what God says about sin. And we come with remorse to him. We come with repentance, a desire for him to wash us clean. And we seek his forgiveness. Recently, I was listening to a podcast on the topic of preaching, actually. And in this podcast, the interviewer was asking the interviewee, Tell us about preaching. Tell us some practices that you do. And the very first thing, immediately he jumped in and he said, the very first thing that I want to do when I'm preaching is I want to make people dependent upon Jesus. If there's one thing that I want to do when I am on the stage or wherever I am and I'm preaching, I want to make people dependent upon the person of Jesus. And immediately I shut off the podcast and I threw my phone on the bed and I just sat there and I was like, that is the goal. To be dependent upon Jesus. Today, I want to make you dependent upon Jesus. To walk in fellowship with God, to walk in fellowship with one another, we must be dependent upon our Savior, Jesus Christ. Finally, John states in verse 10, he says, if we say we have not sinned, we make him, we make God a liar, and the truth of God is not in us. If we commit sin and we say that we have not sinned, we tell God that he is a liar. I mean, how incredibly prideful is this? How ignorant is this statement to say that we are without sin? This is the type of belief that would keep us out of relationship or out of fellowship in sharing life with God, believing that we are without sin. Here's the good news. Christ is the reason for our fellowship with God. Christ Jesus is the reason for that fellowship that we can have with God. In the closing, the last two verses, John states in verse 1 and 2 of the second chapter, he says this, "My little children, I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for our sins only, but also for the sins of the world." John writes this entire letter. One of the reasons why he wants to communicate with the church is so that they would not sin. He says, but if you do sin, if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, and his name is, I love this, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Jesus, the light of life, the light of the world. He is there seated at the right hand of the Father, and he is the one who brings us into perfect communion, perfect fellowship with our Heavenly Father. And then he uses this incredible word, propitiation. Now, this word's only used four times in the Bible, and I doubt any of us have ever used this word in a sentence before. But what does this word even mean? It means this, that Jesus Christ is and was the perfect sacrifice for our sin, to take away the penalty of our sin, and not only our sin, but the sin of the world. And here's even a deeper definition of this word. It's a sacrifice that bears the wrath of God, and this is my favorite part, turns that wrath into favor. Jesus Christ bears the wrath of God upon himself and turns it into favor with our Heavenly Father. Church, today you have favor with your Heavenly Father because of Jesus Christ, the righteous. So in closing, I want to remind you of three things. In order to walk in fellowship with our Heavenly Father, in order to walk in life with perfect life with God, we must know this. We must know the character and nature of our God, that He is light, that there is no darkness in Him at all, that He is perfect in everything that He is, that He does. He is good in all His ways. There are no evil intentions in His heart towards you. Secondly, we must walk in the light as He is in the light. We must walk in His ways. We must walk being fully known, allowing the light of life to shine on us and bear the truth about who we are. And lastly, we must live lives of confession before our God. I love that conditional statement that if we come to Him and confess, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. He will surely make good on His promise to forgive us. Let us run to Jesus Christ, the righteous. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you for who you are. Thank you that you are the light of the world. You are the light of life. You are perfect. You are good in all that you do. You are holy. You are flawless. There is no one like you. God, I pray today that we would know your goodness and understand in return who we are. We are your children in need of forgiveness. I thank you that it brings joy to your heart to be faithful to your promises, to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God, thank you for your Son. Thank you that we can walk in fellowship with you. God, I pray that you would continue to teach us what it means to walk in fellowship with you. And I pray these things in your precious Son's name. Amen.